CBD Revolution. The world is discovering CBD and its potential for numerous health benefits. Hemp Fusion Wellness is the premier company looking at CBD with a whole food perspective. For the highest quality CBD oils and products for stress, sleep, energy, and topicals, it's Hemp Fusion. This CBD Revolution highlight has been brought to you by Hemp Fusion Wellness, U.S. trading symbol CBDHF, and in Canada, CBD.U. Web address, hempfusion.com.
The proceeding may contain forward-looking statements which may not be realized.
This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor. I welcome Veronique de Rougier of the Mercatus Center and the Export-Import Bank. Long a favorite conversation with Veronique, and I learn new facts every day. In a new book, Stalin's War, by Sean McMeekin, the distinguished historian, I come to this footnote. This is April 1934. Bullitt reported to Washington that prior to any prospective Soviet agreement to pay anything at all, the Export-Import Bank would have to open a credit for Stalin of $150 million or $200 million. Bullitt to Hull, April 2, 1934. This is from the U.S.-Soviet diplomatic papers, 1933 to 1939. A credit to Stalin for $150 million. It does not surprise you, Veronique, to learn, I'm certain, that the money was never paid back. The Export-Import Bank that you've been writing about fluently for several years now was in action as a slush fund for Franklin Delano Roosevelt in 1934. Is this the same bank you write about? And is this the same style of conduct? Good evening to you.
Good evening, John. It's the same bank, yes. It's the same agency. It's lasted that long. It's been problematic that long. And while, you know, it doesn't actually lend money to people like Stalin anymore, it actually does it in a very indirect way. Well, not so indirect way. One of the things that people often don't know about the Export-Import Bank, especially because it's talked about as a way to fight and compete against China, is actually that China is the biggest, in recent years, has been the biggest foreign recipient of XM largesse. And the way it does it, right, is by extending cheap loans to state-owned enterprises like the airline in China. And that is effectively, you know, a way to subsidize the Chinese government. And that is still very, very much in play. I mean, a lot of like the work, you and I have talked a lot about the fact that the Export-Import Bank, its biggest client is Pemex, which is a Mexican oil and gas state-owned company. And so that means really effectively we're saving a lot of money to the Mexican government and borrowing costs through XM. So, yes, there's still a lot of that going on.
It occurs to me, though, that we have an affection for lending money to communist states that are both authoritarian and cruel. Certainly Stalin in 1934, there's no Second World War here. There's nothing to excuse the generosity. Stalin had already, he was a deadbeat. He'd reneged on his loans from Britain. He'd reneged on his loans from Germany. FDR comes into office and recognizes the Soviet state, and they immediately start giving him a credit line, knowing that it probably will never be paid back. So let us come to 2021. All right. It was an arcane fact that just jumped out at me, that the Export-Import Bank has been useful to presidents for nearly 100 years. We go now to an article that you published recently at the National Review. President Biden has made an appointment, Owen Hernstadt. He's now serving on the board of directors at the Export-Import Bank. Who is Owen Hernstadt, and how does this illustrate how XM is used?
So he is the chief of staff to the president at the International Association of Machinists and Aerospace Workers. And that's basically it's a union. And so basically a union member gets a seat on the board. So that is useful, I guess, to the Democratic purpose. But also in this particular case, what's interesting is that Boeing only has a third of its employees that are in a union. 22% of its employees are members of that particular union. So effectively, it kills two birds with one stone by not only appointing a union member, but really it's a Boeing seat, effectively. Is going to be, this guy is going to be, loyally fighting for Boeing.
And Boeing is the chief, I'm trying to remember, Boeing is the chief recipient of export-import banks.
Yes,
domestic. Generosity. So.
Yeah, domestically, 40% of all the deals benefit Boeing are for the purpose of selling Boeing planes. If you only look at loan guaranteed, that's close to 70%. At least traditionally it's been, like, the recession has actually kind of changed a bunch of that stuff. I have to look at the share now. And Boeing is always the recipient of all sorts of things. You and I have talked about how during COVID, XM put in place some lending facilities that were supposed to help people, and actually really two, maybe three out of four of the new lending facilities were directly meant to actually help Boeing. One of the things that XM also did is it lifted for its supply chain a lending facility. It actually lifted the requirement that 50% of the deal went to small businesses. And guess who got a ton of money out of this? It was Boeing. So Boeing is really, really a darling of the export-import bank.
Is this different than the subsidies that are paid by other governments to their homegrown industries? And I'm thinking in particular of the industries in China. They also enjoy the largesse of the government. Is that discontinuous with how we benefit Boeing with the Export-Import Bank?
So a lot of governments are doing that kind of things, right? I mean, the Chinese, and there's a XM Bank of China. Certainly the Europeans have one. It's called Coface. COFAS, and and the French, of course, are like, they love to subsidize Airbus. The thing is, though, that Boeing, to understand how deep Boeing relationship with our government is you have to actually think about the difference between Airbus and Boeing is the whole also defense contract side, which basically means that, I mean, Boeing has an incredible access, and XM is really actually kind of a good illustration of how far our government will go for that company.
I'm trying to understand, Veronique, having discovered this passage from 1934, is it well known that the Export-Import Bank is a slush fund? Or does anybody use that language in Washington, or has it been around so long it's not challenged?
So I think no one is using this anymore because they've done a remarkable job at adapting and just basically like evolving in the way they do business to try to actually kind of ascribe some economic meaning to what they're doing. I think there is a vague comeback to this if the Biden administration has its way, and with the help of the XM staff, and starts doing more business in the U.S., directly funding companies in the U.S. for the sole purpose of being in the U.S. I've heard that word slush fund thrown around by a few people in that context.
Veronique Duragy, my escort into the distant past, 1934, the Export-Import Bank and Joseph Stalin's dictatorship. Yes, he was already a monster in 1934. This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor.
Stay tuned for more of CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.